So we're walking through, we're down to this commandment about the Lord's name. When I was a kid, I thought this was the easiest one. When I understood it the way my grandmother understood it, which was basically, when you mess something up, don't just yell out the old JC, you know, right? Don't just say his name casually as if it doesn't matter. But, you know, that prohibition, as we walk through the Ten Commandments, we're looking at them and saying, okay, these are prohibitions. God says don't do these things because they're kind of offense. Remember, we talked about that, to protect something that he is doing and bringing about in the lives of humanity, especially in the Israelites, so that they can be a light unto the nations. He's laying out principles about himself, about them, and about how he will relate to humanity and how we will relate to him. This particular verse, I think most people that casually read the scriptures don't dig any deeper. That's how they take it. Just don't, don't say God's name. You can say whatever else you want. Just don't use his name in vain. And frankly, if people did that alone, they'd probably be pretty on the right track, There aren't many words that are prohibited in scripture. Matter of fact, the only one is this. It was so important to the Israelites, you understand that we don't even know what name Moses was told. Because when Moses wrote it down, he was unwilling to write the whole thing. He wrote consonants. There are no vowels. It's the tetragrammatron. It's the four letters that we assign as the mystery of the divine creator of heaven and earth. We do not know his name. Later on, different Christian sects will put, organizations will put the consonants for Adonai, the vowels for Adonai, which means Lord, and they'll insert that in the vowels, the consonants we have for what we say Yahweh, is our approximation of that. And that gets us the name Jehovah, right? Which is the same, same letters in those two words. But this name was so important. But this issue, you shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, is really important. That I think that hits it better than saying his name in vain. Because it actually encompasses what we mean, is you shall not make wrongful use, or you shall not take on the name of God for no reason. So if we flip that on its face, what we want to say is you shall live into and live up to the name of the Lord your God, which is upon you. Jesus, because of his death and resurrection, has given you and me his name. In other words, when we stand before God in judgment, we will belong to God's own family because of what Jesus Christ has done. Everybody understand that? That's the teaching of Scripture. You are part of God's family, not because you are worthy, not because you deserved it, much like the prodigal son who fled home, wasted all his father's resources on sin and degradation and shameful acts, and then came crawling back to his father. The father picks up that son and restores him to a family that he does not deserve, and as a matter of fact, when he had that grace, he threw it all away. See, you bear that name, we bear that name. Anybody who calls on the name of Jesus, who's follower after Jesus Christ, now bears his name into glory. We're part of God's family. And so we're not to carry that around in the world willy-nilly. The sayings we used to say, you're not supposed to disgrace the family name. Do you remember anybody ever been told that? I think that sentiment has kind of gone away in modern culture a little bit. I'm not sure that at least in our country and in modern culture, people value their family as much as one used to. Do you agree with that, church? That family names aren't that big a deal. Matter of fact, I read different stories online and different things, and so many people give advice just to cut ties with their family so quickly. Well, they didn't do this, or they didn't do that, or they disagree with that. Well, you should have no contact with them. They say NC, no contact. Just go, or LC, low contact with them. And you look at this, and you think how we treat the family. So this doesn't carry as much weight as it once did. But there's a reason behind this you know, God doesn't give his name just to anybody, which comes to this story in Judges about Manoah. Because I want to say, first of all, God's name is powerful and God's name is sacred. God's name is powerful and God's name is sacred. We're going to talk about that. Here's the story. Manoah said to the angel, an angel has come and has given Manoah a word about what God's about to do. He's a judge. Manoah said to the angel, the Lord, would you like to stay until we prepare a young goat for you? The angel of God, he's come. This is a messenger. He's representing God's message, representing God's glory. And he says, even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord. Because Manoah did not yet know it was an actual angel. You know, he thought maybe just a prophet or something like that, somebody telling him good information that God wanted to know. So then Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, what is your name? So that we may honor you when your word comes true. In other words, so that we will give proper credit where credit is due. You hear me, church? That's why he wants the name. He said, so we can bring honor to you by means of your name. How many of you have ever had somebody get your name wrong?
Yeah.
How many of you have gotten somebody's name wrong? Yeah. You know, when somebody gets your name wrong, it shakes you a little bit. You know, it's not something you just breeze past, is it? You know, some of us have varying degrees of emotion about that. Sometimes we can blow it off, depending on who's doing it. But there are some times where it really irritates us, right? How many of you have chronically gotten someone's name wrong and didn't know it and found out later? Gone through a whole conversation with that person and talked to them and stuff. I was like, you nod your head, Quinn? I'd imagine that's pretty awkward there when you're staring down at them. Oh my goodness, that would be... no offense, I didn't mean to single you out, but I think all of us have had that. But boy, could you imagine? I'm thankful you know us. Quinn knows all of us, so we're safe, right? You know, we understand then, we begin to understand how important a name is, and less, even more so back then when people's names were chosen by what they mean, right? The names in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, and even into the New Testament, each of those names express in Hebrew a sentiment about God or about this world or about their birth or about their family that was embodied, the event of their birth was embodied by the name that they bore. You know, it's why it's so amazing in Abraham and Sarah's life when she has this child, finally this promised child, so late into her life, God tells her to name him Isaac, which means laughing one, because she laughed at God when God told her she was going to have a baby that old. You know, and so God said, well, the baby's name is now laughing one, because you laugh at me and about my purposes. So we begin to sense that. And so in this story, Manoah, you know, he keeps pestering, let me know your name so at least we can give credit where credit is due. And he replies, why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding. And this is where we begin to understand that this may have been even a theophany. Not just an angel of the Lord, but the angel of the Lord, which oftentimes in Scripture means this was Jesus Christ, the God himself who has come down in body before his appearing in Nazareth. Now, we're getting into some deep theologian stuff now. But he says, why do you need my name? It is beyond understanding. And then Manoah took a young goat together with a grain offering, sacrificed it on a rock to the Lord. And the Lord did an amazing thing, the scriptures say, while Manoah and his wife watched. As the flame burned up on the altar toward heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell with their faces to the ground in what scriptures later describe as fear. You see, this is when we start talking about the name of the creator of the universe. Names kind of tell us who people are a little bit. Not as much as they used to. But we also associate emotions, we associate, you know, how many you parents? I know this happened with us, I don't want to presume it happened with you, but there were certain names I just would not consider for my children because there was a little snot in elementary school that I knew by that name and I didn't want to be reminded of those encounters. How many of you ever, parents, you ever had some names that just were right out, right? No, we're not doing that. You know, there are just ways that we have associations, emotional reactions. Their names mean something. And so when I say names are powerful and names are sacred, they are not to be taken lightly, let alone the name of the creator of the universe. You know, names are granted here. He wouldn't even give the name. You see, names are given as a gift to the person they're given to. It begins to allow a connection to be made that otherwise couldn't be made. When we see people we don't know, you know, and we encounter them or drive past them in cars, we don't think twice about them, right? It's when we know somebody and we see somebody. Now, how many of you have seen or maybe didn't see somebody in out and about and they saw you and were a little upset that you didn't say hi to them? Have you ever had that happen? How come you didn't say, you know? There's now a presumption of, you know my name, you know who I am. There is a connection there that now I can rely on, I can now presume on. The name is powerful. It also conveys authority, and it is not given lightly. And there is danger in misuse of that name. God's name is powerful because when his name rests upon you, he conveys to you authority. When a prince goes out, people give a prince respect. Why? Because that prince is wonderful and accomplished, right? No. It's because he's a son of a powerful man, right? You are sons and daughters of a very powerful king. You hear that, church? And when you walk this earth, your name, his name rests upon you. You're beginning to sense, I think, I hope, beginning to understand why this is so important. Not taking that name upon you lightly, taking it in vain as if it doesn't matter. This is what that commandment actually means. You shall not take, not say. That's not what the scripture says. It says you shall not take the Lord, the name of the Lord your God, in vain. Take it upon yourself. And so as we investigate the meaning behind it, it becomes much more important. Because familiarity, one of the things I want to say is familiarity, we all know the saying familiarity breeds contempt, right? We've heard that. But it breeds not only contempt, but also, actually, just breeds familiarity. You ever have somebody, it doesn't happen as much anymore, but has anybody ever been like overly familiar with you? Presumed upon a friendship that doesn't exist? You know what I'm talking about? They've been too familiar. They've been too casual. Somebody come up to you and you barely know them and they start sharing too much. Don't talk about me. I know I do that all the time. But you know what I'm talking about? You understand that? How many of you, because a few people are nodding. Have you ever had that? Have you ever caught yourself doing that? Just sharing too much with somebody that maybe, you know, now we have a little, like Sam would say, TMI, too much information, right? You know, we don't need to know that. But in the ancient times, familiarity that was inappropriate mattered. It showed tremendous disrespect for the person. It meant that you were taking that person for granted, and you could be grossly dishonoring them by the way that you treat them and treat them in a familiar way. When we begin to talk about God, we ought to be careful about how familiar with him we presume to be. Last week we talked about our own images of God, and we talked about idols, how it can happen that we walk through life assuming God agrees with us far too much. We walk through life assuming God's okay with the stuff we do far too often. You see, these first three commandments are tied together and woven in so many different ways. But using God's name, taking his name, pretending like him calling you his son, him calling you his daughter, isn't that big a deal, is what we mean and what that commandment means. It means taking very lightly the intimate connection that you actually have with your Creator. It's pretty important. So when we get to the rub of it, misuse of God's name means that you're misrepresenting his character to the world. And we're getting to where we're starting to touch on when Jesus said there were certain sins that would be forgiven. But the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, you guys ever hear this? You know, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven in this world or the world to come. It's why Roman Catholics believe in purgatory. It's the only verse in the Bible that supports anything remotely approaching purgatory. You know? This sin, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. What Jesus is talking about is actually what's tied up with this third commandment. That's how important Jesus thought this matter was, about pretending and presuming upon your connection with God too much. Of walking through this life taking for granted God's love, taking for granted His forgiveness, treating it as if it's not that big a deal. See, it includes claiming God acted when He did not. That's one of the things that misrepresenting God's name, taking His name in vain, pretending that, you know, things are God's blessings when they're not, or claiming God gave you some wisdom when He did not. Because it misrepresents God's intentions, His actions. The other thing is to take credit for the things God did do as if you did them yourself. Many of us do this. We look at our lives, we look at our achievements, we look at our place, our station, our town, our community, and the world, and we assume we got there by our own efforts, neglecting all the benefits that God gave along the way, all the ways God protected you from calamity, that He didn't have to do, all the ways that He prevented horrible things from happening to you. We always look at the things He didn't prevent, and we accuse Him for those, and so often we forget the things that, you know, that He did do that we just don't even give Him credit for. This came very clarity to me in my early life in ministry. It was actually before Julie and I were married. We were engaged at the time, but I was living alone in a parsonage down in Fredericktown, and I had a lot of traveling. I had to travel into Pittsburgh about 2-3 times a week for school, you know, and the hospitals where my members went were about 40 minutes to an hour away, and if they went into Pittsburgh, it was even further, you know. There was a lot of travel associated with it, so I was always driving. One day I had to be in Pittsburgh for class over in East Liberty, where the seminary was, all the way from down south of California, PA, on the Monongahela River, you know, is where Fredericktown was. And I was cutting things close, as you do when you're young. But I couldn't find my keys. I couldn't find them. And I was the only one in the house. You know, it wasn't like anybody to be named later might have moved them for some reason. You know, I could not find my keys. We've all had this happen. You know, we've all misplaced our keys. And there's times where it was inexplicable. So I go in the kitchen, I look for my keys over and over. I go through the dining room, I go there, I go over to the living room, I go upstairs, go through the bedrooms. You know, I look, check my pants pockets, check my coat pockets, you know, and I cannot find them. You know the drill. You've all been through it, right? And there's no, like today, I just say, Julie, where are my keys? And she says, they're right over there. You know, like, but back then, you know, she wasn't around. And so, and then it's just inexplicable. I go into the kitchen, I said, this is not good. And I go to the kitchen one more time, and the keys are right on the counter, in plain view. I can't explain it. I can't believe I looked past them that many times, but I'm 10 minutes late. I grab the keys, jump in a little, Sunbird, what was it? It was a Pontiac, a little, you know, basically the Pontiac's version of a little Cavalier, you know, and I jumped in there, you know, fired up, and just stepped on the gas, and I didn't speed that week because I got a speed ticket the week before. I was just crunching my teeth down just to get there. I get up to Elizabeth on the Monongahela River, and they are clearing an accident right at the intersection that I go through every time. I had to take a detour around it, and when I finally got past it, see this tremendous accident. You know, one of the things I used to do a lot more is, you know, I pull over and just pray for the family. There were, you know, guys walking back and forth. I just told my owner, what happened? He said, it was horrible, you know. This car pulled out, and there's a weird kind of bridge that comes across, and there's a turnaround that comes on one side of the river. The bridge comes across the other, and it's just right there, and it's almost like a blind turnaround. And there's Jersey barriers in front, you know, it's real nebulous. You really got to be careful there. And I said, well, when did this happen? How many of you know when it happened? 10 minutes before I got there. You know, there are things God has done in your life. And many of us want to take credit for where we're at in life and how we got where we are in life. But don't be too bold and presume in those ways. There have been a lot of things in this world that people have claimed they did in the name of God that have been horrendous, horrible, and violent, and deadly. And the world rightly condemns the church for us, for those things. Matter of fact, Paul talks about that. In the very first century, he warned us about that. He said that there will be people that will hate God because of your religion, because of the way you talk about God, the way you practice your faith. So be cautious. He speaks to this, taking the name of God. That's what it means to take his name in vain. You bear the name of God. Just like a police officer does not arrest people because he feels like it. I mean, I know that happens probably, but you know, when we were little kids and played cops and robbers, I don't know if kids still do that. You know, kids probably aren't allowed to have little toy guns that look like guns like we used to have. And we used to run around and shoot, you know, we'd try to get the person to stop when we were playing. Now, I'm going to date myself. We used to play like Starsky and Hutch or Chips. You know, how many of you know those? You guys remember those shows? Yeah. You know, we used to pretend when one of my, me and my friend Patrick, I used to be Paunch and he was John, or he was Paunch and I was John. That's the Chips. If you don't know Chips, you gotta get back a little bit. Just as an aside, I got a little bit of time here. If you want to hear some great funky music, listen to the intro to Chips, you know, that's sorry about that, anyway. Julie gets crazy because I have it on my car and my playlist and it comes up and I just get all jazzed. Anyway. You know, when he pulls this weapon, you know, we used to yell at each other, stop! But we didn't stop the saying there. We said, stop in the
name of the law.
Name of the law. Right. Because when an officer puts on that uniform, he is no longer representing himself. He is putting on the law. He is now representing the law of that land, and he is operating and acting on behalf of the law of that land, not in his own right. When you and I bear the name of Jesus, we are acting and operating in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we rise, we bear his name. When we go to sleep at night, we have borne his name throughout an entire day. What did you do with that name? He says, do not take my name in vain. Do not let it count for nothing in your life. You bear my image. You bear my name. My son has died for you. Do not take that into the world in vain and do nothing with it. That's what it means to take the name of the Lord in vain. And I suspect if you are like me, I have done that far too often in my life. I have violated his commandment. You only use God's name correctly when you take up God's purposes in your life. That means when I rise in the morning and I say to the Lord, Lord, I bear your name today. Let me not bear it in vain. Let me not make wrongful use of this life that has been sealed by your Holy Spirit, that has been claimed by your Son's precious blood. Whatever happens today, as you are with me, let me act according to your purposes. And when I lay my head down and sleep, it means I talk to the Lord about these things. I say, Lord, have I misused and misrepresented your name today? Have I misrepresented what you've done for me? Have I missed opportunities to make your name great in this world? That's what followers of Jesus Christ do. They take up the name of Jesus. And the wonderful thing is that Scripture promises at the end of time, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess and claim that name and say that Jesus is Lord. They will confess and profess the lordship of Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father. This commandment is important, and it protects something about our relationship with God that is precious, and we are not to take it for granted. You hear me, church? We are not to take his name for granted. Bear his name with pride, with love, and with dignity and grace, and share what God has given to you to other people every day. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Lord, we come in here today. We bow our heads before you as a church community, as a faith community. We know your name is upon us. Lord, help us not to bear it in vain as we go out to eat for lunch today or we travel through the world. We see our friends. We travel for family. All the places we go, We know that you are with us. We bear your countenance. Lord, help us put on that uniform. Put on your righteousness, your peace, your joy, your kindness, your gentleness, your self-control, your love. Lord, we help us to bear it and not to bear it for nothing. We want to make a difference in this world for good and not for evil. So help us get out of our own way, Lord, and lead us, take us into your keeping. In your holy name we pray, and all God's people say, Amen. Amen.